back to the show. I'm your host, Lance Roberts.
I get lots of emails every day on questions about 401k plans and stock options and whatever else you have financially. If you've got a question, doesn't matter how basic it is, more than happy to help you. Also, my partner, Richard Rosso, who is on the show as well. We're always happy to answer your questions regarding financial planning or retirement or whatever it is, investing. Simply go by the website, realinvestmentadvice.com. Simply click the Ask a Question button. Send them on in. We're happy to help you out. Look, I've been doing a lot of research on this whole tax cut, tax reform thing, because what we want to know as investors is, despite the rhetoric that comes out from, you know, Gary Cohn and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, who want to talk up the policy because, well, it's really, really good for them in particular, and it's also good for the Trump administration. This is the big item, right? Tax cuts, tax reforms, this is the legislative agenda item that they need to get passed before they get home, well, at least before the beginning of the year, before they start to discuss and start to run for their seats. Without having have passed the Affordable Care Act, they don't really have a lot to come home and campaign on. So tax cuts and tax reforms are very, very important. And I understand that. And I'm all for it. Look, I'm all for, if you can streamline taxes, et cetera, hey, more power to you. That'd be great. Make my job easier, because I certainly wouldn't have to deal with as many tax questions as I get from clients. Makes the whole tax filing process simpler. And of course, I could fire my CPA because I could do it myself. That's all benefits. Not so much for my CPA, but you understand what I'm saying. But what I wanted to do was is take a much better focus as an investor as to what the outcome would be for stock prices and, more importantly, for the economy. Because while the market is currently very disconnected from the underlying economic growth, the promise of tax cuts and tax reforms is simply this. We're going to pass tax cuts. That's going to lead to an explosion in economic growth. People are going to get more jobs because of all the economic growth. Wages are going to rise. And tax revenue will go up because we've got more people earning, making more money. And while they're paying less in taxes, the cumulative net effect of more people working, a stronger economy, leads to a rise in tax revenue. That's the whole story here. And this is how tax cuts are being played out as not being a big deficit buster down the road. But is that true? So I did some analysis looking at the tax issue, and I found something out very interesting. When you break down who pays taxes, the top 10% of the country pay almost all the taxes. The bottom 80% pay basically very little. And more importantly, the bottom 40% actually have a negative tax liability. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. The bottom 40% currently in the country pay no taxes. They actually have a negative. They actually get money back from the government, form of welfare, credits, etc. So now we're talking about simplifying the three tax brackets. Now, here's the only trick to all this that we don't know. And so we had to, and I made some assumptions in the article I'm writing based upon Donald Trump's previous kind of suggestions for tax brackets, but we don't have any tax brackets coming out from the House Ways and Means Committee on the three levels of taxation, which are 12%, 25%, and 33%. And we have no idea where they fall within the income spectrum. But here's what I do know. You're taking away all the deductions except for mortgage interest, charitable donations, and potentially IRA contributions. So that means that itemized deductions, oh, and the deduction of state sales tax and state income tax are also going away. Now, that doesn't mean as much to us in Texas. Well, we can deduct our, if we itemize, we can deduct our state sales tax. But for people that live in all the other 43 states that actually have an income tax, there's only 7 states that do not have a state income tax. Unfortunately, if you're listening to my voice, you're in one here in Texas. So only 1 of 7. So the other 43 states actually have a state income tax. So here, let's do some quick thinking. I've taken away the deductions, and I live in a state where I'm in the bottom 40% of income tax payers, and I now get a new income tax rate simplified with no deductions other than my mortgage interest deduction, and it's now at 12%. And I can't deduct the state income tax that I just paid. Now, hold on to that thought for a moment, because you know where this is headed. You know what's about to happen to this bottom 40% of people. Now we look at the bottom 90% of the country, and there was just a great Fed study out. I've got an article on the website. I highly encourage you to read Monday's article called The Bottom 90% and the Fed's Failure of Prosperity. fascinating study that was done by the Federal Reserve that shows that 90% of Americans have had no wage increases since 1999. So when we look at the prosperity of America, it is all ratcheted in the top 10% of the economy. So now you're talking about 90% of the economy that is basically, for all intents and purposes, living paycheck to paycheck. And we see this in the data, right? Credit card debt is rising, but retail sales aren't rising. They're staying flat. And what that means is that people are spending more in debt just to maintain their standard of living. And this is why you take a look at households, they can't come up with $500 for an emergency, and they have less than 1 year salary saved up in retirement funds for their retirement. And only 50% of the people that have access to a 401k plan actually contribute to the 401k plan because they can't afford to. So now we go back and talk about tax cuts. So tax cuts, the promise of tax cuts is they're going to pay for themselves because of this economic growth. Well, 70% of the economy is driven by consumption, what you go out and buy every day. And so now we're talking about potentially raising taxes on a group of individuals, the bottom 40% of the country, that already are living paycheck to paycheck. And now they're actually going to have to start paying taxes. Now we talk about the next 40%. Which currently have a tax base of less than, they only pay roughly about 10% of the income taxes. So you're talking about bottom 80% of the economy pays about 10% of the taxes. Now, a lot of those individuals, depending on where the bracket breaks, could be thrown into a 25% tax bracket. And without the deductions and itemizations, and again, without the ability to deduct the state income tax, you're potentially talking about a tax hike on all these individuals. And this is the real problem with potentially this piece of legislation, because again, as usual, when the legislation was put together, they don't think about all of the one-off effects that occur when you begin impacting individuals in their states and in their income brackets. Again, this is assumptive, and I want to remind you that this is an assumptive conversation because we don't know what those bracket breaks are on incomes. But if the incomes break as expected, we're going to potentially see an income tax hike on the middle class, and the only people that will actually benefit from these tax cuts and tax breaks are going to be those in the top 10%, which already are consuming, and that's fine. I've got no problem with that. With the exception of that group of people, the top 20% of income earners, they're already consuming at capacity. They're already buying everything they want. They've already got everything they need. So if we give them a tax cut, it's going to go into savings or maybe their investing account. So yes, maybe the stock market goes up, but they're not going to increase consumption. And from an economic standpoint, since 70% of the economy is driven by consumption, the net effect of tax cuts and tax reforms in reality are likely to be very minimal to the overall economy. But look, I've got all these charts that I'll be posting up in the morning and you can see the numbers for yourselves. If you don't agree with me, it's completely okay. You can see all the numbers in the morning. Simply go by the website, realinvestmentadvice.com. I'll have them posted up before we get on the show in the morning at 6, because we'll be talking about this a little bit tomorrow. But this is all assuming that tax cuts actually even pass. There's a whole nother argument to be made that by the time this gets into conference committee, and as we saw with the Affordable Care Act, there's a real high possibility that this stuff gets tied up in arguments and debates between, you know, conservatives and Republicans, and not even to mention what's going to happen with the Democrats. But there's still a real possibility that we don't even get tax reform passed. Now that a lack of passage of tax reform could very well be the match that lights the can of gasoline we were talking about in the first break. Thanks for listening to the Real Investment Hour on the Voice of Texas. You can listen to our podcast by going to realinvestmentadvice.com. And while you're there, be sure to register for our free weekly newsletter. That's realinvestment.com. I'm your host, Lance Roberts, and I'll be back Monday morning at 6 a.m. on KSEV, the Voice of Texas.